Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. A bit of a late edition this week, unfortunately, but an edition nonetheless. We're having a little trouble with our phone lines and with our chat room here in Blog Talk, so we're going to do the best we can here today. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you can get in touch with us. If not, you might get lucky and you can log into the chat room if that starts to work, and that would be a place where you can listen, and we could take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. An interesting Monday Night Raw last night, folks. We're going to get to that and get everything organized here, hopefully. But before we do, I woke up this morning to what I think is a major story, and it does not sound like a work to me. And that was that Randy Orton, after hearing all of the congratulatory praise heaped upon NXT for their In Your House pay-per-view, had tweeted, "When does the slap your leg party begin?" If you haven't really understood the terminology of that yet, you know, you slap your leg to make the noise when you throw a kick or a super kick or sometimes a punch. There's different things you slap your leg for. And I guess he feels they overplay that in NXT, and all it is a slap your leg party. And he took a shot at them, basically saying, look, you guys ain't, you know, you're not really good at what you do. And he also said that it was a training school. NXT was a training school. Tommaso Ciampa shot back and said, basically, that the cure for insomnia is watching a Randy Orton match. Randy Orton once again shot back and said, you know, basically, you guys are all training school guys and blah, blah, blah. It's Tommaso Ciampa's, I guess his wife got involved and said, isn't this the guy who tried to take credit for a match he had nothing to do with? And it got ugly. It got ugly. And the reason this is happening, folks, make no mistake about it, is that WWE is, and their athletes are growing tired of being held back and growing tired of NXT not being held back. And it's starting to bubble to the surface. I warned you this was going to happen. When NXT tells you to go ahead out there and give a really, you know, strong match and give you 25 minutes to do it, and WWE does the opposite and says, here, you got 6 minutes, start to finish, intros included, and don't do X, Y, and Z, and don't do this, and don't say that, you're handcuffed, and you can only do so much. And when the other people get the praise, because a lot of people don't know that. If you listen to this radio show, you're probably a smart fan, you probably know. But I can't tell you how many WWE fans have no idea. They look at you like, what are you talking about when you explain to them these guys are being handcuffed? Well, why is NXT guys so much better? They seem better. They seem like it's, you know, much more skilled wrestlers. They're not. They're not. In many cases, they're probably not as skilled. But they're also not handcuffed. And the WWE workers, they see the adulation being poured on these guys, and they say, I could do that. I could easily do that if my federation would allow me to do it, but they won't. And then they get mad, and they start firing at the NXT guys because they think the NXT guys are getting a big head saying, we're better than the WWE guys. Truth of the matter is both people are right. Both people are right. The NXT workers, many of them, are just as skilled as anyone in WWE. In some cases, maybe more. But Randy Orton is right, too, when he says they don't have to do it in the WWE. And if they did have to do it in the WWE, they wouldn't be allowed to do it. So basically, they would crash and burn. I think what he's trying to say is, when you get called up, you're not going to be able to do this style. You're not going to be able to have these type of matches. And then let's see. Then let's see if you can get over. Let's see if you can get over as big as you are now when Vince McMahon and company is telling you you can't do X, Y, and Z, and you've got 5 minutes start to finish. And look at Aleister Black. What does this become? So Randy Orton's right about that. Now, to say this is a slap your leg federation, that's rude. And I'm sure he realized that it was, you know, shots fired. And I'm sure it was Randy Orton with a few beers in him, pissed off because they're going to steal the thunder. They're going to steal the thunder because I'm telling you right now, Backlash is not going to be as good as In Your House. It's not going to be. I'm taking a look at these matches, and I'm just telling you right now that Backlash is not going to outdo In Your House. Not with a guy who hasn't wrestled in 9 years, having to do an actual wrestling match and not a brawl. Not with Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley, when we know Bobby Lashley's matches are mostly snooze fests. Not with Nia Jax, who's can't last 6 minutes in a ring, going up against Asuka, who's not going to be able to do 85% of her offense because Nia can't take it. It's just not going to be, it's not going to be that good, and everyone knows it. And oh boy, won't that be great, Braun Strowman against both the Miz and Morrison. Oh boy. So I think there's frustration built up there. That's what I think this is. But nonetheless, I mean, Randy Orton could have kept his mouth shut too. Or Randy Orton just could have told the blatant truth and said, look, you guys did do a good job. But let's not get full of yourself, because you all know that everybody up here can do that too. We're just not allowed to. Instead, he blamed it on them. I'm sure if he was down there, he'd want his 20 minutes and he'd want to try to. Maybe he wouldn't. I don't know. We're talking about Randy Orton after all. So anyway, we'll see where this goes, if anywhere, because I don't necessarily think bickering in between the two federations for real and not a work is a good thing. I just think that it's counterproductive. Eventually, you're going to have to work with some of these people. And some of these people came from NXT. So then what? What does that say about Aleister Black? What does that say about some of the people who came out of NXT? Is Randy Orton suggesting they're no good now? I don't know. Is he suggesting they can't make it? I don't know. And then, there was the Mustafa Ali tweet where he was basically saying, oh, yeah, it's just wonderful that I get to sit and watch everybody else wrestle. I don't get to live my dream. I don't get to do this. I don't get to do that. I couldn't be happier. Of course, I'm so happy. I'm so happy that I get to do nothing. Well, here's the thing. I would have had some sympathy for you until you open your mouth about all these political things you shouldn't stick your nose into. And try to say that you know better than everybody else because you were once a police officer and you know X, Y, and Z, when truthfully you don't know anything about it. You don't know what happened any more than anybody else does. And, oh, I want to be an active member and wrestle for change and wrestle for what? No, you wrestle for the audience. You don't wrestle for political reasons. You don't wrestle for any kind of social injustice. Stop it. Just wrestle. Jesus. With tweets like that, who the hell wants to see you back? That could be a work because they say he's supposed to be the hacker. I don't know. Maybe they changed that. We haven't seen too much of that, and I don't know where it's going. I was interested at first. I'm starting to get not so interested because you've stretched it out too long. And then comes the unmitigated gall news. This wins the unmitigated gall trophy of the year. Chelsea Green reports that after Zack Ryder was fired from the WWE, a WWE agent called her and asked if it would be okay if they used Zack and her's swimming pool to film the skit with Mandy Rose and Otis. To which, of course, Zack Ryder promptly said, hell no. Hell no. And his exact words were a hell of a lot stronger. He said, I was literally shaking with rage. I was so mad at them. Literally shaking with rage. And had to calm down before we just typed in, no, that wouldn't be good or whatever, because he said, I was going to say a whole hell of a lot more. Unbelievable. That's unmitigated gall right there. That's unmitigated gall. So that's the news. Let's get to Monday Night Raw, where we start out with Asuka hitting the ring, and she is supposed to be facing Charlotte Flair. And I thought, gee, this is actually pretty good. They're following up on what I said was a lousy ending last time, and maybe they're going to give us a good match. So I was actually excited about this because I said, well, they won't do it twice. They won't screw us twice. So now we're going to get an actually decent match out of this. And then we hear Sasha and Bayley's music hit, and Sasha and Bayley come out. And then they're followed up by the Iconics. And they're followed up by Charlotte Flair. And I knew exactly where this was going. And sure enough, we get a three-team match. How Asuka and Flair form a team, I don't know. I don't know. But nonetheless, they do. And actually, it wasn't that bad of a match. And really, the whole entire crux of the match was how will Asuka and Charlotte Flair coexist, which they didn't. They tagged each other in and out without the other one knowing or without the other one wanting to be tagged in. To the ending where Charlotte Flair was about to do, I guess, her moonsault on one of the Iconics, and Asuka tagged in against Charlotte's wishes and simply tapped her out, stealing Charlotte Flair's thunder. Charlotte Flair, upset about it, attacked Asuka after the match. And we hear that that match will happen still later on in the evening. We didn't know it was the main event at the time, but that's what it turned out to be. I mean, it was an okay match, Todd, but again, you know, I don't know why the tag team champs would even show up for Asuka. It doesn't really make that much sense. And then the Iconics are there, and it seemed kind of forced.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was kind of like forced right there with the Asuka and Charlotte Flair had the team up last night. They could have left the Bayley, Sasha Banks, and the Iconics thing later in the show as a regular tag team match for the women's tag belts. They could have left that alone.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now in the chat room, Derek's asking about the situation with Velveteen Dream and why, if he isn't going to be called up, why would they kind of have him lose and not have him up the top of the division for a while? My only answer to that is the WWE could have some information we don't have. Today, I talked to a police officer, a friend of mine, and he's not a wrestling fan, but I gave him this scenario, and I said, if a case like that was turned over to the police or detectives, how long should it take to verify whether A, that's the person's number, B, that that's the number they were calling from and not somehow forwarded or, you know, some kind of trickery involved, C, if that's their voice on the tape? And he said, matter of days. If they actually were interested in pursuing the case, sorry about that, folks. Todd, can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Well, Blog Talk up to its old tricks where it crashes and burns if there's a light breeze within 6 miles of the joint. Hopefully everybody can follow us now. I was talking about the Velveteen Dream, and I was talking about the fact that I was told that the police procedure, it should take a week, 10 days at the most, if they're interested in really pursuing this case. What does that tell you? It means they're not interested in pursuing it. It's a back burner thing. It's something they're going, oh, who cares? So some celebrity was trying to hit on a couple of slightly underage girls. That's low priority. We really don't care. That's what they're saying, is they really don't care. That's what they're saying. We'll get around to it. we'll get around to it. Okay, well, the WWE obviously is waiting for you to get around to it because they don't want to do anything wrong with the Dream, so that he's probably going to sit out. Bet you don't see him that much. You'll see him on NXT, but I don't think there'll be anything major right now. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think there's going to be anything major. Unless they find out something this week, then maybe there will be. Hopefully everything's back in the chat room and everyone can hear us again. Anyway, so we go from the woman, or I should say nine woman. No, excuse me, six woman. Why am I saying nine? Six woman tag match, which of course is won by Asuka. So it was an okay match. You know, it just sets up what was happening later on in the night. We then get this weird thing with Rey Mysterio is going to once again be speaking via satellite. And guess what? Seth Rollins shows up to sit in the broadcast booth and basically confront Rey. Now, here's the thing. This has never made any sense. Seth Rollins has never explained, nor the writers who wrote this for him, has never explained. According to Seth Rollins, he sacrificed himself for the greater good of what? The greater good of what? Of Monday Night Raw? Well, why was what happened to Rey Mysterio good for somebody? Why was it good for Seth Rollins? I don't understand even the concept behind it. I mean, if there was some weird stipulation where it was like, oh, the loser must retire or the loser has to do something or whatever, leave for 90 days, then I could see Seth Rollins saying, oh, he sacrificed himself for the good of me, meaning he kind of let me win or he whatever. But how is this for the greater good? Seth Rollins was this character before this. He's this character after it. Nothing changed. So I don't really understand it. Rey Mysterio said he's not retiring, that it's a very good possibility he'll be back. He's just not sure when. And then Aleister Black comes flying over the desk, attacks Seth Rollins. And somehow, Aleister Black attacking Seth Rollins leads to Humberto Carrillo and Aleister Black fighting Seth Rollins' flunkies, which is Austin Theory and Buddy Murphy. Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know why. Honestly, I don't know why. And if that's not bad enough, this match is pretty damn short and sweet. It's just basically a squash match. So I don't know how Seth Rollins' group is taken seriously at this point. He has not been able to beat anybody. His disciples have not been able to beat anybody. He beats you up after they lose. Big deal. But you still lost, though. He has not won a thing. And it does appear that his major feud is going to be with Rey Mysterio, who's past his prime by how much? And was really not doing too much of anything anyway? I mean, this is great for Rey Mysterio because this puts Rey Mysterio in a main event type thing. This is not great for Seth Rollins at all. It's just kind of putting them on the back burner, and right now you don't have anybody in the front burner, with the exception of Drew McIntyre. So I'm not sure I like this, Todd, and I'm not sure I know where this is going, but Seth Rollins and his group better win something quick if they're going to be taken seriously.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like he said, I don't like it either with this angle. I don't know where this is going at all either, and like you said, they don't give Rollins anything to say anything about this.
I mean, I'm hearing that Seth Rollins has some creative control over this. Well, how about you win something so you look like you're a threat? Because right now you only look like, well, we're going to lose and then we're going to beat you up after the match because that's what we always do. Big deal. Big deal. So I guess this is leading to some big Aleister Black, Seth Rollins showdown. But really, Aleister Black is odd man out because everybody's waiting for the Rey Mysterio showdown. So you're kind of trying to promote two different matches at the same time. And the fans, rightfully, are probably more into Rey Mysterio coming back and having his shot because he's the one that was injured. The Christian and Edge segment, I understand it. But I don't think it was well written. I'll tell you why. Because Christian went from, I don't think you could even have the greatest wrestling match of all time in your prime, and I think that you're filling your head with nonsense, and I think that you're lying to yourself. And to go from that into, I was doing this to motivate you, you know, that doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I mean, for a while I was really digging it, because I'm like, okay, this is the guy's friend telling him, here's the bad news. I wish you wouldn't do this match. And I wish they'd have kept it that way. I wish they would have kept it that way, not to feud Edge and Christian or anything. I wish they would have kept it that way and took this slant. I wish after Christian had said everything he had to say, that Edge had said, everything that you said is true. Every single thing. And I appreciate you being honest with me, because I know there are a lot of people who just tell me you're going to come out here and you're going to kill because you got that look in your eye and you're Edge and you can do it and just blow smoke up my butt. But I knew I could count on you for the truth. And you're right. You're absolutely right. There's very little chance of me pulling this off. However, if I don't do it, I'll never know if I could have. And the worst thing anyone could ever do is quit before they know if they could. So I'm going to do this, and I hope that you're rooting for me to prove you wrong. Of course, Christian would say I'm rooting with everything I got for you to prove me wrong, but I don't want to have to be there and watch my friend get decimated. So are you sure you can really do this? That's when Ed should have really, you know, flew off the handle and said, you know, what he had to say to Randy Orton, and then Christian could have said, that's the Edge I was waiting for. I have more confidence now. But just to flip the switch like that was a little much. And once again, Edge's main emotions is I bug my eyes out a lot. I mean, it was okay, but I don't think it lived up to expectations, at least not mine. Then we have the decathlon. I mean, if you're into comedy wrestling, it was funny. If you're into comedy wrestling, some of it was funny. The dance-off where they did Shawn Michaels' Sexy Boy and Fandango's theme and a turkey leg eating contest and a really obviously rigged pole vaulting contest. And but I just don't know how this helps either one of these teams. I just don't. It might help the Street Profits a little bit because we're getting to see their personality and stuff, but I wish the Viking Raiders had just stayed serious, because I just don't want a – those are two big, strong, powerful guys. And to just have them be the Bushwhackers, it doesn't work for me. And when I find out later, oh, they're going to be fighting MVP and Lashley, I'm like, God, they're throwing them to the wolves. They're not going to be MVP and Lashley when Lashley's up for a title shot. It's not going to happen. So now they're going to throw them to the wolves. And they're eventually going to feud the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders, and no one wants to see it because they're used to them being buddies now. They're calling each other fam. So now it's like, oh, we don't want to see these two guys fight, these two buddies fight. I don't think this is good for anyone. So I don't know, Todd. I mean, it had its funny moments, but I don't know. I'm just not a fan of it.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this whole thing with the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders every week, it's getting old, technically, and we need to see something between those two teams, like in-ring competition against one another. And it needs something.
Yeah, it needs something. Not sure what it needs. It needs to be over. Derek in the chat room saying, enough of the nonsense. Please, just the Street Profits need to stop. I agree. I mean, what next? Jousting? What are we doing here? Is there a purpose to this? I'm not sure what the purpose is. But as bad as this is, what happened next is unforgivable. The number one contender for the U.S. title, triple threat match between Kevin Owens, Andrade, and Angel Garza. Very good match. And also, obviously, the start of Angel Garza and Andrade not getting along, which I predicted for a long time. However, you have made Zelina Vega look absolutely stupid, and there is no recovering from this. If she is such a smart and gifted manager, Why in the world would she have both of her charges in the same match and not have them ahead of time work out, well, if push comes to shove, so-and-so is going to be the one we're going to go with as the winner. So don't try to win. You know, don't try to win. Just try to help him win. How come you didn't have that worked out before the match? Why would you pit two of your men against each other and not have any plan for the eventuality that it could be them having to fight each other? Of course you would. If you're such a genius, you'd say, look, Angel, look, Andrade, only one of you guys can win. So as your manageress, I'm saying Andrade needs this shot. So Angel, your shot will be coming. But your job in this match is to just help him beat the hell out of Kevin Owens, make sure he gets that win, and, you know, we'll give you a bonus or we'll do whatever we got to do. But that's it. This is his time for now. Your time's coming. Or vice versa, whatever. But you wouldn't send both of your men out and say, I don't know. That's a manager? And then you're shocked? Oh, my God, I never thought they'd come to blows. Well, what do you think was going to happen? What do you think was going to happen when Andrade went down to pin Angel down to pin KO? Did you think Angel Garza was just going to stand there? Or vice versa? That makes her look ridiculously stupid. So there goes the Zelina Vega that's supposed to be such a sharp, shrewd manageress and a great boost for anybody's career. That's terrible. Terrible on their part writing that. The match was good. Here's the thing I don't like. Man, please listen to the sound of my voice. Performance Center recruits, never, ever, ever start chanting, "This is awesome" again. You sound like you're making fun of fans. You got two guys in the background. This is awesome. Wow. This is the equivalent of your mom standing up during your grade school play saying, yeah, that's my daughter. Please never do it again. Never do it again. I don't like the fact that the Performance Center recruits are there anyway, but for God's sake, don't stand chant, "This is awesome." It's okay to cheer and it's okay to boo, but please, no more of that. Not a good look here, Todd. And again, why would Zelina Vega let both of her guys go out with no clear plan who was supposed to win?
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, whatever. I remember back in the day with the same thing when Elizabeth got knocked down off the apron to the floor. And they were, like, fighting over her. And they were, like, checking on her. It reminds me of that angle with Hogan and Savage.
Well, yeah, but at least they were on the same team. For this, you're telling me that a manager put two of her own men in a match where it's every man for himself and didn't have them ahead of time work out who she felt should be the winner out of the two. In other words, if I'm managing Andrade and I'm managing Angel Garza and they're in the same three-way and it's every man for himself, I have to call them together and say, as your manager, Andretti's going to win this, okay? So you guys are going to need to work together, but when it comes to it, Angel, back off. Let Andrade win and you'll get something down the road, or vice versa. But you don't put them in the match and then say, oh my God, I'm shocked they're fighting. What'd you think was going to happen? So that just makes her look stupid. MVP does his best heel persona by wearing a Shad Gaspard t-shirt. That was smart. Nothing screams heel like wearing a Shad Gaspard t-shirt. But anyway, he's going to have his MVP lounge. And I think Drew McIntyre actually did a pretty good job here, to be honest with you. Drew McIntyre is definitely getting better. He's getting better at picking his spots of being affable and friendly and then being serious. Before, he was a little too affable, a little too friendly. Now he's starting to understand there are times when I can't be that. After a little bit of a exchange, McIntyre says he's going to Claymore kick MVP again. He can either stay there and take it like a man, or he can run away and he'll find him later and he's going to give it to him anyway. That leads Lashley to get in the ring. At the end of the day, all this really does is lead directly into Lashley and MVP defeating the Viking Raiders. The Street Profits were at ringside, and they actually made more noise than everybody else in attendance, but the two of them. And at the end, we did see a little dissension in the ranks where one of the Viking Raiders got mad at one of the Street Profits, and I don't know where that's going. It's too late for that anyway. Lashley takes a claymore, and I guess he's told to not sell it. I mean, he takes a claymore, doesn't really even leave his feet, just kind of falls out of the ring, lands on his feet, and walks away. And I'm like, okay, well, that's the first time that move was totally undersold. So I guess we're supposed to believe that Lashley can withstand the claymore, even though we've seen he couldn't before. And perhaps Drew McIntyre can't withstand the full Nelson. That's where they're going with this. I'm not sold on the Bobby Lashley thing. I'm telling you, as sure as I sit here, I have seen the writing on the wall since they announced this 3 weeks ago. Lana will interfere in this match. Lana will cost Bobby Lashley the match. There will be a falling out between Bobby Lashley and Lana. And that's the way this is going to go. So that's just as simple as that. Not really a good match. I mean, it was what it was, but we knew from the very beginning that this was just going to be a way to highlight Bobby Lashley's ability and his strength to make us believe he possibly could beat Drew McIntyre, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about the Bobby Lashley and the Drew McIntyre feud. I just didn't care for this. I don't care for it that much. Oh, I never liked Bobby Lashley in the street in the beginning. Not right for me right there.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Now, Derek's saying you're probably right, but Brock Lesnar is at least an aspect to that, and it could make it interesting. Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to give Lashley the championship, but then Brock Lesnar's not liked anyway, and you're going to have two heels go at it, or are you going to make Brock Lesnar a face? I don't know how that would really work. I don't know where that's going. I just know you can't let Drew McIntyre lose his first major feud on a pay-per-view. He can't lose the title already. He cannot do it. If he does, that's just a damn shame. And I know that some people have said he's losing it, and then he's going to win it at SummerSlam in front of a crowd, because wherever they do SummerSlam, they're going to make sure there's a crowd, and he will win it back, so he gets his moment of, you know, adulation from the crowd that got stolen from him at WrestleMania. I understand that concept, and I respect that concept, but I still say I don't want to see Bobby Lashley as the world champion, period. He has not proven anything. It's good that he has MVP as a mouthpiece, because MVP is pretty good on the mic. By the way, we reported that they stopped Raw last week because MVP had said that the people in attendance were NXT superstars, and he was supposed to refer to them as Performance Center trainees. And so they stopped the tape and made him do it over. Turns out that was actually for Backlash, because Backlash has already been taped. Backlash is in the can. Couple of spoilers. I'm not gonna reveal them. I don't have a major spoiler. I don't have a spoiler for the championship match. But I do have a couple of spoilers, but I'm not going to reveal them. Anyway, that leads to what I thought was the end, really. I was like, wait a minute. This has got to be the end. It seems like this is a very long Raw. And then I remembered, no, Asuka and Charlotte Flair. And this match, they gave literally 30 minutes to. Literally. And I'm going to tell you something. This was easily the best match of the night. And it might have been one of the best matches of literally the weekend. And that includes the NXT matches. These two do work well together. There are some people who work reasonably well together with Charlotte, and some people who don't work well with Charlotte. And then there are people who work really well with Asuka, and people who don't work really well with Asuka. Charlotte Flair works really well with Asuka. There were parts of this match that I truly said to myself, I'm not sure they called that. It's almost like it's on the fly, because Charlotte looked genuinely surprised that she's being hit by this, or when she went for the spear and got kneed in the face, I said, I think that's a mistake. It looked like she literally kneed her in the face. And I said, okay, well, this is a mistake. And Charlotte did a great job of selling by holding her nose and acting like she was checking to see if she still had front teeth. And I'm saying, I think it was a mistake. And then I watched the replay and I'm like, no, it was no mistake. Charlotte saw it. She knew it was coming. That's how well they work together. They can do things on the fly and it works very well. And I'm not against Charlotte winning the match, and I'll tell you why I'm not. A lot of people wrote to me and said, that's bullshit. How do you have Asuka lose before a title defense? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Charlotte keeps building up this, you have never beaten me. And she still hasn't now. She's going to beat Nia Jax, because Nia Jax's name is mud. Trust me, Nia Jax's name is mud in the WWE locker room. People can say all they want. If you talk to these people, they'll say, oh, she's such a nice person and she's wonderful. That's fine. But they know that she's unsafe and her name is Mud. She's not winning anything. She's getting tapped out. And then maybe the next person will be Charlotte Flair. And that will be some match, because that's what I want to see. I want to see that on a pay-per-view. Because if you give them no commercial interruptions, 20 minutes to do what they do, 20, 25 minutes, you're going to see a very, very strong women's wrestling match. And this is probably where Asuka will get her moment and finally beat Charlotte Flair. And that would be a tremendous victory. And that would really seal up Asuka as being, you know, the top female. And it would be a very good thing for her. So, and I think that's what's coming. So I'm not against her losing. And I understand that if she loses, she can't really lose clean. It wouldn't be a good idea to lose clean. So I'm not even necessarily against Nia Jax coming out. I know people said, oh, it ruined a great match. We were really into that match, and then bullshit ending with Nia Jax. Well, it's a bullshit ending on a free TV show. You know, you can't bitch if it's a bullshit ending on a free TV show. It was a pay-per-view. I'd be right there with you saying bullshit. But it's not. It's Monday Night Raw, and they're setting up for the pay-per-view, so how's that a bullshit ending? Nia Jax looking strong at the end. You can't wait to see Asuka get her revenge on Nia Jax. That's wrestling 101, so I don't necessarily think that's bullshit. I think that's just the way wrestling works. And now it's made me look kind of past Nia Jax, because let's face it, that's not going to be a good match. For all the people who are saying, how do you know? Well, name me the last really good Nia Jax match. I'll wait. There isn't one. It's not going to be a good match. But what it will do is it will solidify Asuka as being, wow, she's really good. Nia Jax is 100 pounds heavier than her, a foot taller, and she still tapped her out. Charlotte Flair is going to be in trouble, and Charlotte's going to be probably her next major feud, which will be pretty damn good. And the best spots in this entire Monday Night Raw was occupied by Charlotte Flair and Asuka. And my very favorite spot is when Charlotte Flair was doing an interview and Asuka came in singing, I am the champion, I am the champion. And Charlotte Flair, who's used to Asuka just now suddenly being like this weird, flighty, exuberant, happy all the time girl, says to her, Asuka, do you ever take anything seriously? And she just lambastes her with a slap and says, yes. That was very, very good. Really was. So I'm more interested in this. I'm already looking past Nia Jax. I'm already looking past the Nia Jax thing. I'm looking to Asuka, Charlotte Flair. I really think these two work well together, and I think we're going to see a very, very strong match when they get that pay-per-view match that they're inevitably going to have. So I was real happy with this match, Todd. I thought this finished off a pretty so-so Raw with a very strong match.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about Asuka and Charlotte Flair. Those two got chemistry together in the ring, in and outside of the ring. The skits they do, the matches they do together, tremendous, amazing chemistry with those two. And they do work really, really, really good, really well together. No doubt about it.
Yeah, they really do. Now, Derek is saying, well, you got to remember that Drew McIntyre has defended his belt against Seth Rollins successfully. Yeah, but there was no build-up to this. I mean, this was just – Seth Rollins was feuding with other people at the time, and it was, I don't even know why they threw him into that. That was a mistake from point one. That has been the WWE's calling card, is mistake after mistake with who they book against people. Drew McIntyre's first title defense should have been against somebody not all that important. That we knew he was going to win, but we just want to see how he feels as champion. Then if you want to do Lashley and you don't want to give him the belt, super. In the meantime, you should have been building up Seth Rollins as this guy who just ain't losing. And then you get to that. Then you get to – they did it completely backwards. Because who's next? Let's say he gets by Lashley. Who's waiting in the wings? Who's going to fight Drew McIntyre? I'm waiting. Who? Andrade? Angel Garza? Austin Theory? Who? There isn't anybody. Because you've ruined Seth Rollins. He's already done it. So now he's gone through Seth Rollins. He's going to go through Bobby Lashley. Who's the next guy? Who's the big heel we can't wait to see against Drew McIntyre? I'm waiting. See, that's the problem. No foresight. Seth Rollins should have been on a major winning streak, injuring Rey Mysterio, maybe even injuring Humberto Carrillo, possibly even getting by Aleister Black. As, oh my God, he got by Aleister Black. Maybe not clean, but he still got by him. And then Seth could say, there hadn't been a person here that can stop me, and Drew, you're no exception. Then we would have had something great. Instead, you threw Seth to the wolves first for Bobby Lashley to come pick up the pieces. That didn't even make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. Seth Rollins had been portrayed as way more of a threat than Bobby Lashley. Rollins pinned Brock Lesnar 3 times. Bobby Lashley has done nothing. He lost a Ricochet. So I'm sorry to tell you, it's not working. You're doing it completely backwards. And right now, if he's going to get by Bobby Lashley, you should have some monster heel in the wings that you're building up. So we can say, well, if he gets by Lashley, he may have to fight this guy eventually. We don't have that. So I don't even know where it's going from here. To be honest, maybe they will give it to Bobby Lashley because at least there's some faces that he could face. He could have his rematch with Drew McIntyre. Aleister Black is a possibility. Certainly Kevin Owens is a possibility. So you got some guys that are championship quality. But if he gets by Bobby Lashley, who's the next heel to come along? Nobody. They're saying maybe Brock, do we want to see it? It wasn't even a great match at WrestleMania. It was very eh. And I don't want to keep seeing Brock Lesnar come back to try to save the day. Because, you see, that's giving the WWE the false impression that they need Brock Lesnar, when in reality they do not. And if they just keep having to pull him back because they got nobody, then he's got them over a barrel where he can say, yeah, man, if you want me, fine. But I get all the, credit, and I only lose when I want to lose, and I do what I want to do. Instead, how about you build some people from the ground up so you don't have to rely on Brock Lesnar? And then he doesn't have that much say, does he? Because you have people waiting in the wings who are just as popular or just as people are just as eager to see fight. So, yeah, I mean, I'm at a loss for words with Raw as far as their championship picture, because I don't know who would be next for Drew McIntyre. Doesn't even really make a ton of sense what they're doing. And I feel bad because I think McIntyre's doing an exceptional job. He is really busting his ass. And he's correcting mistakes as he goes along, which is to his credit. When he first became this really amicable, funny, fun-loving guy, he was going way too far with it. Way too far. Everything was a joke. Everything was a laugh. And I'm like, you can't. Because a lot of what we liked about Drew McIntyre was he was pretty damn cold-blooded at times, and he was tough. He wasn't a jokester and a comedic guy. Now he's blending it a little better. Now he's nice to the people who he should be nice to and funny to the people he should be funny to, but he's also serious when he needs to be. So he's correcting his mistakes as he goes along. And I think he's making a pretty good face for the company. But in order to be really embraced by the fans, you have to have really strong heels that he overcomes. Bobby Lashley is not a really strong heel. MVP has literally dragged him into this position with his mic work. But Bobby Lashley hasn't earned this with his wrestling work or in-ring work at all. He hasn't earned it at all. So there, he's by proxy because there's no one left. Let's say Bobby Lashley was injured. God forbid, but let's say Bobby Lashley came down with an injury. Who's your replacement? Who's the next guy who should be a title in title contention for Drew McIntyre's title if you take Brock Lesnar out of the equation? Nobody. Nobody. A soul, and you're not doing a damn thing about it. You're not building anyone up. You're just keeping everything status quo. That's your mistake. He's not going to be popular unless he has a major amount of heels to go against and fans can root for him. I haven't talked to any fans who are super excited about Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre. I just haven't. Those fans, same fans, would have been excited about Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre if you built it up correctly. That never should have been Drew McIntyre's first defense. That should have been the end game. You want to put Bobby Lashley first, I'm for that. Build him up a little bit, and then it's Lashley. He gets by Lashley. Then maybe throw somebody else, anybody, against him. In the meantime, you're building Seth up at the same time. And Seth is saying, look at the win streak I'm on. I'm unstoppable. I'm the Monday Night Messiah. Nothing can break me. I will have that belt in my hands in a matter of time. All in due time, all when the moment is right. And then when the moment is right, you got Seth Rollins, who's on an unbeatable win streak. You got Drew McIntyre, who's conquered all comers. And you got that as a main event, and you got something good. But you didn't do it. You just threw away Seth Rollins. And now if you throw away Bobby Lashley, I don't know who the hell you got left. I really don't. And that's a damn shame. Because that's just poor management of your talent. Simple as that. Very poor management of your talent. Anyway, so how did we feel about Raw? Well, look, it ended on a really good note. I very much enjoyed Charlotte Flair and Asuka. Asuka has been their most consistently good worker through this entire pandemic nonsense. She has been stellar. Couldn't ask for better. Could not ask for better. And she's really done almost the impossible, and that is with no fans in attendance, she's won over the fans, which is it's amazing, really. It's actually amazing. She's won over the fans who are just watching it. You go online, you hear people saying, I like this Asuka. I like this Asuka. This is a cooler Asuka. I like this characterization they're doing of her. It's fun to watch her. It is. She's won fans over when there aren't even any fans in attendance to win over. That's tough to do. That's really tough to do. So WWE knows it. Rumors I get is that Vince McMahon already knows that Asuka is his top girl. He knows. And he knows that Nia Jax is going nowhere quick. And after she loses this match, I don't know where she's going. I think maybe the Performance Center. Now I have some good news, though, before we give our rating. I watched a very, very cool video with Tamina Snuka. Can you believe that? Miss No Personality. Miss I Can't Get Two Words Out on the Microphone. Miss Robot, Wind Up Robot, walk to the ring, stare blankly, three moves, walk out of the ring, stare blankly. And they're doing some kind of weird thing where she's in an insane asylum. And she actually did it really well. She's laughing kind of crazily, and she's saying, for 10 years I gave my life to this, and I got nothing in return. It's enough to drive anyone crazy. And she's singing these nursery rhymes, and she's bouncing off the wall, and she's saying nobody's nicer than Tamina instead of nobody's meaner than Tamina. It's really bizarre. And they did a good job with the video. Whoever did the video did like the cutaways that look like a horror movie, and it's she's in a straight jacket, and it's looking really pretty creepy. And I'm saying, Jesus Christ, they might have found something. They might have found something for Tamina to do that she can actually do and will actually make her an interesting character. And if that works, whoever that writer is should get a bonus, because I'm telling you that if you gave me the job of making Tamina Snuka interesting, I don't know what I would have done. Short of tearing my hair out, I don't know what I would have done, because I didn't think she could handle anything like that at all. She's never proven she could handle anything. You give her the microphone, she was terrible. Terrible. Now, I know she has a million takes to do the video, and maybe she can't do it live, but what I saw in the video was extremely entertaining. And it actually made me say, I can't wait to see Tamina debut. That'll be interesting. This new Tamina debut could be really cool. Todd, I don't know if you saw the video, but if you did, what'd you think of it?
By the sounds of it, she did like a pretty good job doing like these nursery rhymes, like Mary, Mary had a little lamb, hush, little baby, don't say a word, those nursery rhymes. It sounds like how she did it was pretty cool.
It was in black and white. It had some echo behind it. It was very well done. It was very well done. It looked like a horror movie. And she was definitely into it, and she definitely seemed to be able to grasp that characterization. And coming from her, here's the odd thing. Because she has no personality, coming from her, it almost feels like it's real, if you get what I'm saying. It doesn't feel like an act, because you say, well, she's not an actor. She's terrible. So when she does this and it seems to be good, you're like, that feels real. Because she's not the one to be able to act that well, so it just comes across as genuine. So they might have something here with Tamina Snuka. Now, I don't know about in the ring. I don't know if they're going to solve that problem. But they might have solved the problem of her character not being interesting, at least, which would be interesting. But see, that's what they're doing now. At least we can say, wait a minute, they're building up people for the champion, whoever the woman's champion is. They're building up people for her as we go. They're not doing that with Drew McIntyre. If we had a segment where some wrestler had to have, you know, a vignette, and, oh, they're rebuilding this guy, and look, he's going to be this, we'd say, uh-oh, that's probably Drew McIntyre's next guy. That's going to be interesting. They're not doing that. So this is a very weird Raw. On paper, it sounds really good, but it drug a bit at times, and it just felt... Some of it felt counterproductive. I think they made Zelina Vega look like a complete moron, which is really, really counterproductive. I think they made the Viking Raiders look like complete morons for weeks and weeks and weeks, which I think is counterproductive unless you're trying to sell Viking Raider teddy bears or whatever. But if you really want them to be serious contenders, I think you've thrown that out the window. But Asuka and Charlotte definitely saved this show. Definitely save this show, because that's an A match. Might not be an A-plus match, but it was an A match. And when you have an A match be your main event, then you probably can't be worse than a B-minus show. So what this show should have been is probably about a D-plus or C-minus. But because of that last match, I'm going to give it a B-minus, Todd. What's your thoughts?
I got to go with you there. I got to give it a B-minus as well. It was a good show. I like the promo between in the back with Asuka and Charlotte when Asuka slapped Charlotte right in the face.
Yeah, that was a great moment. She let her have it too. It was a good slap. Now Derek's saying NASCAR is going to let fans in starting Sunday. Everyone knows how I feel, and I know it's controversial, and I know half the world disagrees with me. And I know I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not an expert on anything. All I can tell you is when I see a headline that says WHO and CDC agree, the protests will have no discernible risk of contracting or restarting a second wave of COVID. But other protests might. As if it depends on what you're protesting, whether the virus will come get you. I kind of think we're being flim-flammed. at this point. I don't think we were always flim-flammed. I think for a while it was definitely necessary to lock down and stay inside and be careful and be cautious. I think the time has passed. And I think it's time to just let people do what they want to do. If you don't want to go to the wrestling match, don't go to the wrestling match. You don't want to go to the NASCAR event, don't go to the NASCAR event. But don't tell me I got to stand 6 feet, not five, but six, not 12, but six, away from the person. Don't tell me in a 97-degree heat I have to wear a mask every single minute when you turn around the next day and say, masks aren't really that necessary. And now our latest word is they're saying, well, if you're anti-symptomatic, it's almost impossible for you to spread it. Well, wait a minute. I thought you said those were the people who are spreading it the most. Wasn't that what you said? Oh, you may not have any symptoms, but you still got to stay inside because you're the ones who carry the disease and you're the spreaders of it. You're the ones who are the most likely to spread it. Now you're saying the risk is almost so rare it's almost non-existent. That's what you just said today. Everyone, to get back to their life. If you're still nervous or you're sick or you're very, very old or you have a lot of health issues, maybe you want to wait a little longer just to be safe. That's up to you as an individual. But it's time to let everybody just do what they want to do. Get the fans back in here. If the fans don't get back into wrestling by the end of this summer, the ratings have collapsed. They've just collapsed. SmackDown was horrific ratings. If it gets much worse than this, the WWE is really going to have to reconsider giving away the network because no one's going to buy it. They're giving it away except for the pay-per-view. So now the $10 just covering the pay-per-views because otherwise you get everything for free. And that's all because of this nonsense. It's time to open the doors, WWE. Be the first ones. I'd love to see – you're not really the first ones because some independent federation already let fans in. But you'd be the first major one. Open the doors. Find a state that isn't clinically insane like New York or California. Find a state that isn't clinically insane and host an event, please, and get some fans in the building. Anyway. I mean, listen, a decent Raw, if you like that kind of stuff, I'm just glad they ended on a high note. Usually they end on a low. This week they ended on a high note. We'll be back here, obviously, on Friday with our AEW NXT report. Should be an interesting one. I want to see if them NXT ratings go up after this In Your House or if they stay the same. And I want to see if AEW has a rebound after one of their worst weeks. So we'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.